figuring perfectly from Barry Bonds to Will Leach.
We're longtime associates.
It's a hard time to be a sports fan. These days, it's hard to find the sports on the sports pages amid the stories about steroids, lawsuits, convictions, football fans demanding women show their breasts at games. It's awful. Jolton Joe has left and gone away for sure, but Will Leach is here. He's the founder and editor of Deadspin, perhaps the best sports blog there is, and a friend of the BPP with a new book called God Save the Fan, How Preening Sportscasters, Athletes Who Speak in the Third Person, and the Occasional Convicted Quarterback Have Taken the Fun Out of Sports, and How We Can Get It Back. Will, how are you?
Thanks for having me. I should probably let you know that subtitle is actually the whole book. So I've done a terrible job of selling
this. Well, it's an excellent book then, because I think the subtitle is fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you think the fan is getting completely gypped by the amount of off-field stuff that we have to deal with, trials, steroids, misconduct. There were whole weeks this winter where I noticed the New York Times front page of the sports section was never about a game, but it would be about the Mitchell report, Clemens' response, Isaiah's trial, the Jets fans, you know, hollering at women, Michael Vick.
Right, right.
What happened to the games?
Well, it's funny. I think that a lot of what happens sometimes, I think when you work in sports, whether you're a player or whether you're a coach or whether you're a media member, sports becomes a larger part of your life than it is for the average fan. So in a lot of ways, you see sports as some sort of morality play rather than this thing that you do to get away from your life and have a little bit of distraction and fun. And because of that, I think I think that the average fan maybe has made their peace a little bit more with steroids than, say, the people that cover sports have. Like, most of that, like, basically...
But part of that is because the people who cover it are flogging themselves for not noticing doing it and not saying
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, not doing anything 10 years ago.
And it seems the average fan is kind of like, will forgive, especially if the player is successful.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've certainly evolved in this situation. I think that in a way that maybe media hasn't. And I think that, you know, you look at, like, excuse me, I think most people would rather not have their best favorite player be on steroids. I think
right.
just assume like it'd be a lot easier not to. But deep down, it's hard to get a lot of moral outrage about it because at a certain level, first off, if they had any opportunity to improve their job at their job or at performance, I mean, this is extremely stressful.
But people feel like everybody's doing it, so why should I hate Giambi?
Yeah,
for doing it too.
Exactly. And frankly, if you look at Jason Giambi, he's a good example. Jason Giambi is proof that steroids will make you money. Like he took those steroids for such a long time, then got a contract for 7 years and however many million, and it can't be voided.
But I mean, the thing with him was that fans were getting mad, management and ownership was getting mad when he wasn't hitting.
Yeah, they started hitting and they were like, "Oh, we love Giambi."
Exactly.
And frankly, I don't think that's as big a deal as I think that's actually a more honest portrayal, frankly, than I think a lot of the moral outrage is. I mean, Jason Giambi is a paid entertainer. That's what we pay him to do. We don't pay him to be a moral arbiter. We don't pay him to make some statement on our lives. His job is to hit a baseball out of a baseball park. That is the only reason any of us care about Jason Giambi or any of us have any idea who he is. So I think expecting him to be some sort of statesman and some sort of I take a strong stance against this. The guy's job is to hit home runs. And I think fans recognize that maybe in a way that media doesn't always, because at a certain level, we understand that, like, yes, we'd rather he not be doing steroids. We'd love to have this theoretical planet where everyone's clean and none of this stuff goes on.
Steroids in particular is a tricky issue, and fans and media are struggling to figure out how to emotionally deal with it. But other things like DUIs and immorality.
Dogfighting.
Fans seem to just pass right on by. And let's just talk for a second about the Patriots.
Yes.
You know, who's kind of the darling. They're hated, but that's because they're winning so much, right? But everybody loves Tom Brady. But, you know, we kind of bypass the fact that he had a baby with Bridget Moynihan. Doesn't really seem to be that focused on that. He's already on to Giselle. Barely anybody reports that Bill Belichick has had a two-decade-long affair with his secretary, who's also married to somebody else.
Yeah, well, when you're as handsome as Bill Belichick, I mean, you know, that's a natural
thing. I like
thing
the way he dresses.
Yeah, of course. He's very stylish. But, you know, it's funny because I think that, you know, we realize that to become a professional athlete or become that successful of a coach requires such single-minded focus to the point that, like, it's perfect. Like, I always find it amazing when people are talking about Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson. Like, to me, the amazing part was he had time to talk to anyone other than the people in the film room.
Right.
And, like, it requires such that asking them to somehow stand for something larger than being a guy, particularly a quarterback, like that involves so much study, so much memorization, so like instant quick, like it's an incredibly difficult job that I'm not excusing these things, but certainly if we start trying to attach, like, frankly, normal human beliefs and so on, these guys have all, like, professional athletes since they've been in their teens, before their teens, have been told that they are special.
Coddled.
They've been told that they are different,
yeah.
And they've been told that they've been able to get away with things. Yeah. So why would they not, when they, particularly when they reach the highest level, when they basically, confirm what everything people have been telling them for so long? I don't think it's unreasonable to be surprised. I don't understand why people would be surprised that they would get to that higher level and be like, wow, I can still do whatever I want.
But isn't it amazing that you could catch a DUI? You could beat up your wife, you could do steroids, all in the same week, and the fans would still embrace you. And yet, we may never have an openly gay athlete.
Yeah, it's very strange. And certainly, I think so much of that is built up in the culture of sports. I'm not sure that's even necessarily a fan thing. When you talk about the gay athlete idea, I think a fan could be accepting of a gay athlete.
Really?
I do. I absolutely think fans could. I'm not sure teammates could. And to me, that's the larger issue with that.
Only if the player was super successful. If it's a Tiger Woods,
yeah.
A Kobe Bryant, you can't
be... It would have to be someone in... Actually, I think it would probably have to be someone in an individual sport, too, like
yeah.
a Tiger Woods. Because the problem with in a team sport is that the whole showering in the locker room thing, I don't think that's the problem.
Individual sports don't need the fans. All you need to do is go out and win.
Yeah, but
if you knock the other guy out, if you ace the other guy, yeah. You win, you go home, it doesn't matter.
But what was your point you were going to make?
Well, basically the idea that, like, so much of the world of team sports is based on don't be a distraction to the team.
Right.
Anytime something goes, the Cowboys lost not because Tony Romo had a bad game, but because he was distracting them with Jessica Simpson. Like, that's how storylines are kind of set up and kind of portrayed to everyone. Well, the minute, no matter how good the athlete was, the minute his team lost in a big game where they thought they were going to win, inevitably... The whispers would start. Was he a distraction? Did he call too much? If he were an out player, did he cause too much? Bring too much attention to himself and not to the team? Did I had all the other players had reporters coming and asking them about him? That's what would happen. I think that's why there has not been an openly gay player in team sports. Not because fans would not accept it, because frankly, I think they would. I think individually.
Not sure that's correct.
Okay. I think generally. Speaking, the average sports fan is a little bit more enlightened in that regard than maybe they would have been 30, 40 years ago. Certainly, maybe the way that you see the shirtless fan, maybe those Jets fans that were screaming at the woman to take her shirt off. But I really don't think that's indicative of the fan as a whole.
I have a fan's question. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband Bill, yes. Crazy sports fan, has two questions. One, do you want it about a team or about the business of sports? Which question do you want?
Let's go with team. Those are
right.
Fun.
This is from my husband from St. Louis, and I want to preface saying 5 days before our wedding, yes, we were at Busch Stadium watching the Cardinals.
That's wonderful. As a Cardinal fan, that makes me extremely happy.
He says, how long will the Cardinals' recession last? Is there a stimulus package which can revive the Cardinals' expansion of greatness, or are we in for a bad time for a long time?
All I know is everyone on the Cardinal Stock Exchange is a screaming sell and running for the hills. I think that's a funnier, larger thing when we talk about the steroids. And the Cardinals just traded Scott Rolen, this very beloved player in the team, for Troy Glass, who was mentioned, if somewhat exonerated, in the Mitchell report, and certainly has been connected to steroids in the past. The Cardinals fan reaction was, okay, good, maybe he'll hit more homers this year than Roland did. I don't understand why there's something inherently wrong with that. Like, it's not our job as fans to be moral police or to figure out what's right and what's wrong. Our job is we have enough of that in our regular lives. Mm-hmm. I think sports is, in a lot of ways, a distraction. It's a way, and I think if you try to start to apply gray areas of, is he right, is he wrong, or something, you're attaching something that I'm not sure that's actually how fans actually react to sports.
You got another one?
I do have another
one.
Right. Yeah, he said, seriously, behind Pardon the Interruption, do you see anything good on sports TV? You and Terrell were talking about this.
Which was leading into my next question. Yeah. What's your problem with SportsCenter, brother? It's a great show.
I think there are obviously as any sports fan watches ESPN on a regular basis. I think there's no way you wouldn't. And I think actually that's become part of the problem is that, you know, ESPN's a corporation. That's fine. They have every right to make as much money as they can. But
they print it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that for a fact.
But the notion behind it, though, is that, you know, if you're a hardcore sports fan, ESPN is a huge part of your life.
Yeah.
So for them to be able to continue to grow, they need to start targeting casual fans, teen fans, people that are more interested in maybe the celebrity aspect of the controversy kind of aspect. And that, you know, that's fine, but I think you're inevitably going to alienate those hardcore, your core audience.
But come on, you still have former players from every sport, including hockey and tennis, who are coming on the air, breaking down the games, breaking down what's going to happen.
I think that's maybe giving them a little bit more credit than necessarily is there. If you watch one of those pregame shows before the game started in the NFL, it's basically six former players sitting around the table laughing at each other's jokes. I think
that's not fair. There's coaches there too.
Okay, yes, there are coaches there laughing at their jokes and wearing
very loud suits.
Very loud suits.
What is that?
My wife hates the suits.
See, I actually like the suits. That's actually one of my favorite parts of it.
Canary yellow with pinstripes.
Oh, I'll take that.
You hate number one, my man Stuart Scott. Yeah. Well, is it that you don't get the black diction? Is there something going on?
No, to me it's a very indicative thing about Stuart Scott. We talked about this earlier, was the idea that he hosted a New Year's Eve thing. ESPN had a special New Year's Eve special. And right before the ball dropped, he said, "I want to say a message to fans. You guys out there, those players out there are working their butts off, and you sit there and boo them. Are you playing basketball? Do you understand what that means? No, so don't boo." And I'm like, hey, dude, I pay for all of this. Like, right. I'm the fan. I got every right to do whatever I want.
You do.
Like, I'm not going to throw stuff at people. You don't throw batteries, but certainly I have the right to boo a player I am paying for all of it.
Don't fans bear some responsibility for some of the decline in sports?
Yeah.
This one book seems to put it all on the players and the people in third person.
Oh, certainly,
which I agree.
Yeah, certainly, fans as a collective. But to me, the larger issue with fans as a collective is that we'll take it. It's like deep down, we're not going anywhere.
Right.
And I think that's true.
We have made this bed that we're lying in.
I wouldn't say all of it, because I think there is a disconnect between the way sports are presented and sports fans as a whole. Because I think, you know, it's funny, when you look at the way sports fans are presented, when you watch the Super Bowl, look at how sports fans are presented. They're people that have obviously serious erectile dysfunction problems. They're the guy that can't choose between the beer and the really attractive woman who inevitably gets conked on the head by something at the end of the commercial. I'm not sure the average sports fan's like that. I think when you watch a game and you see the shirtless morons that are freezing over there, that's not the average sports fan. Those are the extreme people. But I think when you work in sports, those are the only fans you ever have any interaction with or you ever see. And so therefore you get kind of a skewed idea of this like kind of meathead screaming fan. I'm not sure that's necessarily the case.
Well, I mean, one big difference is free agency, of course, in our Father's Day, there was no free agency. You stayed with a team for a long time. You build up. You become part of the community. Yeah. Now, you know, reading about where guys are going and getting traded and how much they make is part of watching the game.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's an unfortunate downside, but frankly pretty fair. I mean, realize a lot of times when people would stay in the community and stay with one team forever, it was because they didn't make enough money that they didn't have to work in the community in the off season. Like, that's a positive thing, that no longer do these guys all have to go do drudging jobs in the off season. They get to train full time. It's actually improved the level of sport, frankly. So I tend to actually not begrudge the money that most athletes make.
Me neither. Will Leach, editor of Deadspin, friend of the BPP, author of the new book God Save the Fan, with a very long title. Check it out. It's fun. Check out Deadspin. Thank you, Will.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you in person. I hope you come back sometime.
Go Cardinals.
Hey, you're right. You've been to my house. Hey, that's it for the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart.
I'm Torrey. Come visit us on the web, npr.org/Bryant Park. It's the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.